Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Oh, he's sighing, but I'm going to ignore that, Andrew, and say, how are you doing, man?
I'm going to ignore that, and I'm going to say, why have you got World King Fighter on your sweatshirt?
I'm going to ignore that and say, why have you got water all over the front of your green, trying to look military T-shirt?
Because I've been walking in the rain.
Walking in the rain.
Just to get here on time today.
Were you with the one you love?
No, I was by myself with a cup of coffee.
Yeah, with a tie.
What are you taking photographs of me for?
You were taking the photographs, Andy.
No, I'm not.
No,
what are you doing?
Do you know, I went, Andy.
What?
Just thought of it then. I used to be big shot lawyer, right? Like, oh, giggles. Big, a lot of little ruffles come from
there. Yeah.
And when you're doing criminals, right, mm-hmm. they come in and, you know, a percentage of them, 80% or whatever.
Buddies.
Say they're not guilty,
yeah.
right? And so that's fine. Take that on the face of it. But
you've got to trust them, haven't you?
Well, you know, but you got. I used to think to myself, I wonder if he is or if he isn't, right? Now, the moment you would have walked through the door... Mm-hmm. I would have said guilty. And you're seeing you now with your sweaty T-shirt
yeah.
with some sort of liquid all down
yeah.
the front of it.
Precipitation.
Yeah, and your common accent.
Aye.
Guilty as far as I'm concerned.
You reckon?
I thought, Andy, one, that we should drop the Chris Evans shite.
Yes, please.
Done. But I thought, you know, like everyone knows about me, you know, my fashion.
Do they?
Yeah, me fashion, me sports achievements, you know, and all that.
World King Fighter sweatshirt.
Oh, that's... What did
World
you...
King Fighter. It's written on the front of your sweatshirt. Then.
Well, what's wrong with that? You're always picking on my T-shirts.
You're not, are you?
What, a World King?
You've got a knackered shoulder.
Yeah, I'm not fighting fit at the moment, Andy. That doesn't mean I won't be back. So I thought, well, yeah, we all know about me.
Yeah.
What about you? Find out a little Christ. Bit more about your life, you know? I mean, that. You know, I'm doing my photography and all that. But what about Andy? So can I ask you something? And don't just block me, Andy. They're perfectly nice questions, yeah?
You better be.
Andrew, what is the lowest mm-hmm. you've ever been?
Oh, man.
Have you ever been really low?
Oh, God, I have, but it's really personal. I'm not going to talk about it on this podcast.
Oh, I knew you'd block me. So,
I'm
no.
not blocking you. I'm just saying I'm not talking
Was it underground?
It was like... basement level of a department store.
That's the lowest you've been, a
yeah.
department store?
I've not been like down into the earth's core or into like lava or anything like that, but basement level. Bins in Sunderland before it closed. I used to have a good basement.
And did you get lost, Pat, or
yeah,
something?
I did
you cry?
I lost my mum.
Did you cry?
I got stuck on the stairs. I didn't know whether to go up or down.
So not only were you physically low, you were actually emotionally pretty low as
yeah.
well. So I'm sorry to have gone.
I got a wooden crate dropped on my ankle when I was 3.
That's got nothing to do with
low.
That
was quite low.
I didn't ask you about anything being dropped on you. Second question. Similar one is, what's the highest you've ever been, Andy? Let's find out a bit more about
it. The highest I've ever been. Are you talking metaphorically here? Or
no, just at the highest, you know, like have you been?
Highest point.
The highest point you've been, yeah.
Up the Eiffel Tower.
That's the highest?
Yeah, that's as high as I've been, I think.
That's about, what, 700 foot?
Yeah. I mean, I've never been to, like, South America or Central America where they've got, like, thin air.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's hoping.
What
one
about
day,
the Lake District? Any of the
peaks? I nearly went to the Lake District today because I drove halfway down here.
Yeah.
And got on the train at Newark. And I was so tempted to go right at Scotch Corner and just fuck this all off.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that. I would have been disappointed. So the highest you've ever been is the Eiffel
yeah,
Tower?
Eiffel Tower, yeah. And the lowest is downstairs in bins.
What's
yeah.
the illest you've ever been?
The illest I've ever been? I had my appendix out when I was 7, and that really hurt.
You can remember?
Before I had it out, yeah.
Yeah.
Really, like, I doubled over in pain.
You've never
stomach
been stabbed
pain.
Or shot?
Not
or
yet, no.
Acid
no.
flung at your face?
No, fingers crossed, no.
Lucky lad.
So far. But I'm in London, so, you know, anything could happen.
London, innit? Do you know this, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first time we've recorded it in, what is the Hoxton area of London? Can you imagine folks being in Hoxton?
It's just people in kilts everywhere, isn't it?
There's a lot of kilts.
And skateboards.
There's so many fucking coffee outlets, Andy.
There is. And I managed to go to one where I got a medium coffee. And it's the size of a fucking pig's fingernail.
It's a thimble, isn't it?
It's a thimble.
Oh, but good luck with it. Let's hope it's extremely, extremely tasty.
It's very tasty.
Do you prefer old people, like I'm saying over 70, yeah, or young people?
Is this some kind of like life insurance questionnaire or something?
No, I just thought we could find out a little bit more about
it. Ask it again. This is the last one. I'm not answering anymore.
Okay. Do you just generally speaking, do you prefer the oldies over 70, what? Say, or the young'uns 18 to 25?
I would say the oldies.
I think I prefer the oldies.
Well, 18 to 25 is these millennials, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they just keep telling you what to do all the time.
No, I don't think that's fair. I just think that we're really dull to them, and I feel like I'm imposing.
I just feel like we're always having our lives and our responses checked by them and policed.
Yeah.
And I bet none of them could change a fucking fuse in a 3-pin plug.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say so.
Could you?
Of course I could.
What amp fuse would you put in, and like a side light, then a lamp?
5.
Fuck off.
3.
Hey, so, come on. I've thought to myself,
I'd put in what was already in it. I'd just replace it like for like, wouldn't I?
Yeah, I suppose you would, yeah.
Fuck's sake.
I've written a song, Andrew, to kick things off.
Okay.
It's a love song.
Is it a love song to Sunderland?
No, it's a love song to a beautiful lady that I met in Sunderland. And I'd just like to tell you the story of that meeting.
Go for it.
I met you in Sunderland on a bench at the retail park. You offered me KFC, 2 thighs, then uncrossed your eyes. You were wearing a football shirt and Primark dungarees. Your hair smelt of chicken fat and tripe. You had just had a shite. Colleen, you were my Sunderland girl. We threw bones at a passing bus. You had to be in court next day for selling stolen goods. I will never forget you. We slept in bed next to your dad. We used a chicken as a pillow in an Aldi carrier bag. At breakfast you blew me a kiss and buttered my Weetabix. We went to the magistrate's court by bus, and you got 18 months. Colleen, you were my Sunderland girl, 16 stone and 4'6". Your vape smell of onions and your house of Alsatian piss. I will never forget you, nor the sights that you showed me. But now you are chained to a wall, like the donkey by the KFC. There you go, Andrew.
Colleen.
Colleen, yeah.
You got a number?
You like the sound of it? Yeah.
I've got a couple of names for you.
Go on.
Before
then.
We go any further.
Go on then.
Of course, be honky tonk if you want to be.
Yeah.
Or you can be car boot Christian.
Yeah.
He goes along to his local car boot sale on a Saturday where he sets up a stall and he's got 10 random items on there that he's deliberately overpriced by about 30%. He refuses to engage with anyone who tries to barter with him. Stuff like bits of fishing tackle. One of them ceramic hens that you keep eggs in.
Yeah.
An old rotary dial telephone, bits of Soviet military army knickknacks.
Bit bored with
him
already.
Doesn't sell any of it. Then he goes home and rewards himself because he's got one of the machines that shags you in the garage. He has an hour on that before Super Sunday.
Okay, thank you for that. Reject it because I don't work Saturdays.
Okay. I've included Saturday and Sunday in that as well, just to confuse you. Or you could be Mobile Malcolm.
Yeah.
Malcolm's 44.
He sounds fresh.
Lives alone in a mobile home. He's got a mobile phone. He runs a mobile disco. He avidly reads books that he gets from the mobile library, and he makes them mobiles to hang above children's beds, and he sells them on eBay. Lost both his feet in a farming accident in 1987.
Ooh, I like the sound of that accident and the long road to recovery.
Yeah.
And the hero status that will have.
Do you want to be Mobile Malcolm?
No, I don't. I'd like to be on Ketone.
Fine, then whatever.
I'll offer you one. Ravioli downpipe, yeah? Latin lover boy with the lifts in his shoes and gadgets on his Johnson.
Yeah, I love it.
Why wouldn't you?
Have you seen the Easter bunnies that are sold in Morrison's?
No, I'm
made
not.
Entirely of butter.
Fuck off.
Seriously.
Butter bunnies.
Butter bunnies. They're bigger than the Netherlands, apparently. And what? Morrison's, of course, gave us the foot-long sausage roll not so long ago.
Yeah.
Morrison's is my favourite supermarket now because they don't give a shit about fucking you up.
Well, I don't have one in my town.
But you don't, Margaret Harbour. You've just got a Waitrose, have you?
It's shut. The Morrison's shut about a year ago.
Yeah, because everyone's gone to Waitrose.
I presume, to be honest with you, yeah.
It's stuck up idiots.
It was actually to do with a parking problem, Andrew.
Hey, Bob, do you reckon Debbie Harry's still got a heart of glass?
Ooh, I suspect she never had a heart of glass.
Well, it was 1979, so I'm not sure. Strong chances she still got it because it was glassware, yeah. Isn't it? And that's kind of quite robust and not a lot of wear and tear with glassware, yeah. Is there?
I don't think you can have a functioning heart made of glass, Andy. So
do you reckon she's had it replaced with something like carbon fibre plastic, something like that?
Once again, I think it was just a metaphor, Andy. I think it was just a metaphor.
She sang about it. I don't know why she'd lie.
You don't want to take all these things literally, do you?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I will.
Well, yes, I know you will.
I'm joined in the studio now by our special guest this afternoon, Mr. Barry Homeowner. Hi there, Barry.
Hello. Sorry, it's Barry, isn't it?
Sound like Bob Moore. Barry.
Hello. Hi. It's a nice rig you've got here.
Yeah, whatever. Now, you describe yourself as the octopus of the business freeway, free thinking pop-up blue sky launch pad that takes root in any community brave enough to drink his wisdom. But we're going to try and get under your skin here. Yeah. So, you're an estate agent, Barry?
What's
that like?
Obviously it's office-based, but with massive outdoor reach and interaction. Andrew, it's targets.
Right.
If you don't hit them, it's a shitteroo. But when you do, it's like driving an Aston Martin straight at a fox, a massive Russia doodle-doo. Mm. Yeah.
What turns you on, Barry?
What turns me on? It's a good question, Andrew. Well, certainly design classics such as 70s Habitat, 60s G-Plan. Look, here's a tipperoonie. I'm pretty damn sure that some of the side tables at Oak Furniture Land are going to become design classics of the future. Buy now and watch their value go up into the business sky. That's free to you, sir.
Barry, are you looking for a new lady in your life?
Yeah, the ladies. Well, not actively. I'm on Plenty of Fish, you know, the dating site. I'm just on there for lols, really. You know, my life is full of female inputs. Lady at Cafe Nero, who always marks my cup. Barry Homo. The receptionist Laura at work, who can't keep her eyes off my butteroonie, you know. Tommy Hilfiger High Rider slacks, that's my secret. So yeah, plenty of ladies. Don't know what it is, but if I had to guess, I would say it's my physique and the great things that I say.
Yeah, I can see that. What car do you drive, Barry?
When I meet a lady, Andy, I take a three-pronged approach. One, I walk up to them on my tippy toes with my tongue slightly out and my flies undone, about 1 inch. Two, I say, how da doo da Rooney, and wet my lips with my tongue, yeah? Then I ask them if it would be okay if I brushed their hair.
Bit creepy.
That, my friend Rooney, is the first step on the That, my friend Rooney, is the first step on the ladder of love, the stairway to melons.
I'll ask you the question I tried to ask you a minute ago. What car do you drive, Barry?
Motor car.
Yeah.
Only the jokes. Just a ruffle bomb. I'm between cars at the mo. Wife took hours on the big splitteroonie. Prob's going to bag a contract hire from one of the nationals. Probably a Peugeot, black or red. Must-haves. Aircon, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi hotspot and auto gearbox. So I've got one hand free to point at things as I pass them.
What sort of things do you like to point at, Barry?
Monuments, billboards,
yeah,
and shrubs.
Well, thanks for popping in, Barry, and telling us a little bit about yourself today.
Could you ask me how I'm sleeping at the moment?
How are you sleeping at the moment, Barry?
On my back. Soz, just a ruffle grenade with a side order of Laffles. Pretty well, though. I do have the occasional semolina nightmare where an ape digests me and displays my bottled essence in his bistro. As I've always said, you can sleep when you're dead. And by that, I mean dead tired.
Thank you very much there, Barry Homeowner, for joining us today.
No, the thank-a-roonies are on me. Hey, is there a Boots nearby? I need some German hair shampoo and some Zoverax for my cold balls.
I don't know, probably.
Cheers anyway, bye.
Bye, Barry.
So what have you got on your mind, Andrew?
What have I got on my mind? I've got some questions from my quads for you.
Oh, fucking hell.
Well, you've asked me a bunch of questions about myself, so why is it a problem for me?
Yeah, well, I hope they don't go on forever.
There's only two. From Jick, Josh, Joff and Jeff. Bob, out of all the pets you've ever had that have died, which one was your favourite?
My first cat, Billy, he was a tuxedo black cat. You know the one with the V, white V on the chest.
Like him out of the cartoons.
Yep. Bit like Felix the cat. Yeah. A wonderful, wonderful cat.
Well, they've said here, tell Bob you'll probably see it again when you get to heaven. Although that's not very likely.
Oh, I see.
So they've said that. Right. Second question from the boys. Bob, why are you such an arsehole? They've put at arsehole. It should be an arsehole. But I'll have a word with them about that later on. Seriously, what's your problem? Maybe you should just lighten up a bit. It's not Dad's fault that you're so angry and that your life is shit. Get help.
Well, yeah, I plead guilty.
It's not really a question, is it? It's more of a bit of a life advice.
But yeah, it's most welcome, because kids have that way of getting straight to the heart of things. You know,
kids say the funniest things, don't they, really?
And the truest things sometimes as well.
There we go. That's the questions from the quads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
So Peter Beardsley sent me one of his updates, Andy. Do you
Good.
Want to hear that?
I'd love to sit back and hear that, please.
Okay. Here we go. I'm still not back at work, you know, because of the business with the foreign lads, like, you know, so just at home, really, getting under the wife's feet, you know, and watching the clock go round and round and round and round until it's time to go and sleep, you know, in the spare room. Me mate Billy, the bus came round yesterday, you know. He brought me a colouring book and some crayons, like it's a very nice example of the genre, you know. It's got a seal balancing on a big ball, unicorn, a moomin looking at the suitcase, and a caravan next to a tree, like, you know. My favourite one was a robot feeding a robot baby with an oil can. So I've been doing that today. Billy didn't get me a silver pencil, so to be honest, the robot looks a bit shit. I coloured it in brown, you know, instead, so I hope no one sees it, else that'd probably be me in more trouble. Dog dirt.
Billy, you know, took me out in his car to cheer me up, you know. We went up the Asda Lake and got a couple of chicken wraps to eat in the car park, you know. Well, the moment I bit into it, I knew there was something wrong, like, you know, it was a double disaster, you know, because, one, it was wholemeal wrap, which is hard work, you know. I like me chicken wrap to have a nice soft melty in your mouthy, like, you know, a melt in your mouth sort of texture to it. You know, almost stodgy, Bob, you know. Two, it had fucking chilli in it. Now, for me, chilli is far too striking to be in the chicken wrap, you know, it's very overpowering. Still, chicken wrap is a chicken wrap, so I persevered, and I must say the chicken was nice and lumpy. Lovely, lumpy, lumpy chicken. Oh, yeah. On the way back there, you know, we popped into the bookies and I won a tenner on the gambling machine, like, you know, and I felt really happy. You know, like you might feel if you, now you pull off a sharp dance move at an important disco. Anyway, that was short-lived because when I got home, the wife was waiting for me at the front door.
Where the fuck have you been, you little fucking creep? I've been waiting for over a fucking hour for me porch decks.
Then I'm sorry, Nova, I went out without telling you. And I'm sorry I've left your eye and dry, porch stegwise, but Billy the bus popped round and took us out for a drive.
Billy the bus, that fucking fat wanker! Hold on, have you been eating behind my back?
Well, if she knew I'd had foreign bread, she would have lamped me, like, you know. Ever since she rejected Jesus, she's banned bread because it reminds her of the fella, like, and whole meals worse because it's such an intense bread. Probably around, like, even when Jesus was alive, like. So I told her I had a sausage roll and that I was very sorry I had done that.
And where did you get your fucking money for that fucking doll? Where did you get the money for that, you fucking doll? Have you been in my fucking purse? Empty your pockets now!
Well, I'm doing some tour late, and of course, she sees the £10 later on one of the bookies.
Oh, you little fucking scheming thief! Give us that cash back and get four fucking poachies on! And they'd better be fucking runny! As for that useless fat prick Billy, get on the phone, tell him he's not fucking welcome back here no more! I bet it was him that put you up to it.
Well, I didn't dare tell her I'd beaten the bookies, like, so I just did as she was told. She's upstairs asleep now, so I'm just colouring in as quietly as I can, like, in my son used to like the colouring in book. He always did the clown first, like, because he said it reminded me, him of me, you know, so that's a nice memory. Anyway, finish up, cheers both up, Bob, with some jokes, you know, like from me joke book. Just got me joke book here somewhere. I was in the jungle and there was this monkey with a tin opener. I said, you don't need a tin opener for a banana. He said, no, this is for fucking custard. I told my wife I'd got a job at bowling alley. 10 pence, she said. No, it's a permanent post, I replied. I went to the doctor and they said, I've got a problem, you know. I always have a dump every morning, it's 6 o'clock. He said, what's the problem with that? Then don't get up till 8:30. This recruitment consultant asked me, he said, what do you think of voluntary work? I said, I wouldn't do it if you paid me. I can't tell the one about the elephant night because her wife says it's too mucky. So I'll say it, Bob, anyway. One Peter Beardsley. There's only one Peter Beardsley. One Peter Beardsley. Say it, Bob.
Seems all right, doesn't he? Seems all right.
Yeah, I think he'll be back at work soon, surely.
Well, fingers crossed. You know,
justice will be done, no doubt. One way or the other.
One way or the other. I don't know the ins and outs.
No, no. It's not for us to judge, is it? What do you reckon? If he walked in now, would you reckon baddie or guilty or?
Oh, by the
way, using your solicitor's.
Oh, I think he's
opinion.
Got kind a very very unreadable face. I wouldn't like.
You wouldn't play a poker against him.
No, I wouldn't. No chance.
Okay. What's behind the door? Yes or no? Yes or no? Okay. What's behind the door? I don't know. I don't know.
It's got a theme tune now. He don't know.
What's behind the door? Yes or no? Imagine there's a door over there, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you three things that's behind it. You've got to tell us if you go and look at them. You know that, don't you?
I know that. It works.
Number one, it's an upside down number three.
Yeah.
It's massive.
Yeah.
Would you go through and have a look at it?
No.
All right, then, it's tiny. It's under a microscope.
No.
Would you have a look at that?
No, I'm not interested in a number three. I haven't even got that.
Not even an upside down one.
That was a long shot, wasn't it?
That was worth a punt. Some lads on a stag weekend behind the door. They're having a bit of a wrestle, and it's supposed to be fairly light-hearted, but there's some underlying, unspoken issues there, and it's starting to get a bit serious. You know, banter getting out of hand, classic stuff.
Don't like that energy.
You wouldn't want to watch that.
No.
Bit negative. Right, okay, number three. Aka Bilk. He's shit-faced.
Well, you know you've got me there, don't you?
Hang on, though. Might be a twist. He's leaning against the wall and having a conversation with himself about the Inland Revenue.
Yeah.
His hat's on, but his hat could come off at any minute.
Whilst the hat's on, I'm going in, Andy.
And if the hat falls off, you'd walk out?
I'd walk out, yeah.
I'll take that. That's good enough for me. One out of three.
Well,
Thanks, Bob.
Well, thank you for offering me them. I was thinking, you know, with the international week, Andy, and
of
all
what?
That, with the international break and all that in the
international
football.
Football?
In the
what's a football podcast, this, isn't it?
Yeah, and I was thinking to myself, like, I wonder how the gangs are all going to line up, you know, come the World Cup with the England squad and that.
Yeah.
And I think I might have got a bit of a clue here, so it might be interesting for people. So. You know Harry Kane's recuperating from his ankle injury.
Yeah.
He's been staying at his mum and dad's house, right? And Debbie Ali's been staying in the spare room whenever he can. Right,
you know. After him.
Sorry?
Just to look after him.
Well, yeah, just so that you can play Call of Duty, try out different products, you know, buy shit off the internet, that sort of thing. Well, the day before the Italy match just gone, right, Debbie got a few of the England players together to go visit him, cheer him up, you know, because he's probably feeling left out. There's Eric Dyer, Adam Lallana, Raheem Sterling, Jordan Henderson. So Debbie goes in first because he wants it to be a surprise, you know. I said, "All right, Harry, how are you feeling?" Harry says, "I'm very frustrated and down in the dumps, actually, Debbie. This injury could not have come at a worse time. It's got me in a right fluffery buffery." Debbie says, "Yes, it's very inconvenient, but there's no good time to have an injury, is there, Harry? At least it won't rule you out of the World Cup." Harry says, "Yes, that's very true, Debs, but I am worried about James Vardy. He's the only other UK centre-forward with a magic chin like me. What if he uses these friendly matches to stake a claim to a starting position?" Debbie says, "I doubt that will happen, Harry." Harry says, "Well, you just don't know, do you? That Southgate man has got a very big nose. He might be capable of anything. He might even drop you for that Lingard lad who coincidentally has a very big nose. Do you see where I'm coming from?" Debbie says, "I feel you, boss. Hey, boss, I got a surprise for you." And in walks Lallana, Adam. "All right, Harry. Just thought he'd come and say hello. I bought you a little gift. It's a jar of moisturiser by La Mer. It's deeply penetrating and replenishing. It'll completely energise your skin. How much did it cost, if you don't mind me asking, out of a feeling of deep curiosity?" £1,200 from Selfridges. "Oh, well, it must be good then. I thought you cloppies used Nivea." "Fuck off, Harry. We wouldn't use that cheap shit.
You can buy it in Boots or Asda. What do you think we are, mugs or fucking summit? Well, thank you very much, Adam. But don't, please don't pass to Vardy tomorrow. What was that, Harry? Nothing. Would you mind putting a bit of your cream on my elbows? They're very dry and very flaky. Not at all. In fact, I fucking insist. So he gets on with that. Next is in is Jorgen Henderson, yeah? Right, he comes in.
He's from Sunderland. He's Sunderland.
All right, Harry, you know, I never. Whoa! Would have thought, keep up, you never know, mind. Always knew it could be like so. Offer you the best experience ever. All right, Jordan. I bought you a chessboard and pieces, lovely, made of oinks with gold detailing. Be okay playing chess against Hendo, says Debbie. He only knows how to move sideways and backwards. That's a terrific line of banter I just said, isn't it? Harry says, was the chess set expensive? Jordan says, yeah, $3,500 from Harrods. All right, should be a good set then. Put it over there next to my ant farm and don't pass to Vardy. What? What was that? Nothing. Look, Debbie, I'm finding all these visits a little bit tiring and draining. Is there anyone else? In skips Raheed Sterling. Right. Yo, Dewey! For the culture, Harry. Most effective vibe to you and your sup, man. Harry says to Debbie, what do you bring him in for? He's like a fucking 10-year-old in Toys R Us. Hope your ankle's getting better, bro. I bought you a 24-carat farting bowl with an ivory lid. You know, with you being bedbound. What's it expensive? Over $50,000, bro. Harry said, oh, I expect that will be lovely to fart into then. Thank you very much, Raheem. Don't pass to Vardy. What did you say about Vardy? I didn't say anything about Vardy. Why would I? Only know him, like, in passing. I bet he wasn't even very expensive when Leicester bought him, so how good can he even be? Adam, he's got a magic chin on him, though, ain't he? Good pointy one. Jordan, I pointy, you know, I like witches, like a lot of good luck, I check fitting, and then the ledges, how could you? Raheem, yeah, this year's chin is more magical, has more magical power than Messi's boss eyes. Right, that's it, all of you, get out. I'm fed up of all this chat about Vardy's chin. I'm the magic chin. His is too sharp. Mine is nice and blunt and heavy. It's full of power. All of them say, don't worry, Harry, we won't pass to Vardy. Thank you very much, lads. And put a Satsuma and a Rum Barber on top of that, thank you. Let's just hope Big Nose Lingard has got the message. Right?
Is that it?
And, you know, isn't it... I wonder, you know, let's think about it. Who passed to Vardy? And
lovely finish by Vardy as well, wasn't it? Great goal.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering if there's going to be a bit of a two camps at this World Cup. Vardy's chin camp and the Harry's chin camp. Could be.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was, Bob.
Bob!
Yeah? Do you reckon Madness still live in the House of Fun? I mean, I was 1982 and that, and they've probably all matured quite a lot since then, 36 years and everything. You know, people change, dynamics in relationships start to shift, and different people start having different ideas about what constitutes fun. But I'd be surprised if they were all still living together in it. What do you think?
Well, if any characters are going to still live in a fun house, I think it would be...
It'd be Madness. The Nutty Boys.
Yeah.
Depends on the size of the house, really, doesn't it?
So
they've probably earned enough for it to upscale to, like, a big house where they can have annexed areas for different kinds of fun. But with it all coming under the same sort of overriding umbrella of the House of Fun.
House of Fun. I don't see any reason why you can't have a luxury fun house, Andrew.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason whatsoever. I saw Madness in Brighton, 1978.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did they look like they were having fun?
Yeah, they had a little... They were a very skinhead band then.
Did you have fun?
I was a bit scared watching them, actually, because, like, they... I don't know where, East End of London, North London, wherever they came from.
Yeah.
They came down, like, with this posse of skinheads.
Right.
Who did the nutty dancing, which was an incredible thing.
Did you
to
not
see.
Know the dance?
No, well, you just stood back and enjoyed it as part of the performance, right. Really, to be honest with you.
Shall I put that down as a maybe, then, for the House of Fun?
Yeah, maybe. South Africa... And I remembered something that I might want to tell you about my time in South Africa.
Okay.
Do you want to hear it or do you want to just pack in there?
Oh, you seem to have waded in there with it already.
So one of my days off filming, I thought, I'll go out for a bit of sun and a swim. So I went to the Blue Rock Water Park, Andy. big water park just outside on the outskirts of Cape Town. Caught a bus from just outside Rudy's General Store. Right. And he popped out to say hello as I was waiting, you know, with my trunks and my towel like. So Rudy says, all right, Bob? No, that's not it. That's Jordy.
Is it?
All right, Bob. You look terrible. You look a terrible weak bitch today. Where are you heading to? It's Asian, isn't it?
It's
South Africa.
It's not
he
bad.
Popped out. Said a soft. Where are you heading to? A soft play area for the feeble bodied. I said, no, Rudy. I'm going to Blue Rock Water Park. Do you know if it's any good? You bet, Blue. They got 100 foot near vertical speed slide that will give you goose gogs, a right thud. Make sure you're well secure, or they could end up looking like fried eggs. It's a terrible South African. Yeah, I will do, Rudy. So, 20-minute bus ride, I'm there. Lovely hot day, lovely place. Put me stuff in a locker, change into me trunks. Head straight for this big speed ride, this big 100-foot vertical drop that Rudy was on about. And it's not much of a queue. I reckon a lot of people didn't fancy it, and it's quite intimidating when you see it.
Yeah.
So, at the bottom of the stairs to the ride, you have to pick up this, like, padded PVC sleeve that you wear, like, sort of like a skirt to soften the impact when you hit the bottom.
Yeah.
So at the top, the last bit's this sort of 10-foot ladder, and it's onto a platform, and there's a bloke there who tells you how to put the skirt on and releases you down the tube safely, right. You know. So I get on the platform, and shit, he's got a pointy stick, yeah? And he presses the pointy stick against my face, yeah? He says, take your fucking babies off your prick and kneel like a dog! Well, what can I do, Andy? He's got a pointy stick. Right, and I'm on the sharp end of it, do you know what I mean?
Just do as you're told.
So I get down on all fours, and he says, Start feeding the padded PVC sleeve into your pooper, you prick, what I draw Yogi Bear on your nutsack. Well, I do as I start, and I start feeding the sleeve in the maze, and he's saying, faster. Wants speed. Yeah. Fast. Well, Andy,
accuracy as well, or just merely speed?
Speed. So, Andy, I take a chance. I dive right past him down the chute, yeah?
Yeah.
Bang! I hit the bottom, balls first, and they instantly swell up like avocados, you know? And so I've got to get back to my locker to get me stuff, and I'm naked. Everyone's laughing at me because my balls are making a humming sound, a bit like a dehumidifier might make,
yeah.
Or a beehive.
Right.
You know.
But makes a noise. Like bees.
Yeah, but sorry, many bees. Yeah. Anyway, back on the bus, I get off at Rudy's and go in to see if he's got any lotion or painkillers, you know, for me knackers. I tell him that the bloke made me feed the padded PVC protective safety skirt into me Terence, and he says, gangbangers, you gotta fucking love them, bro. I said, well, look, Rudy, would he really have made me put the whole unit up there? He said, South Africa. You bet, Blue. They fished a black out of the water last week with a bouncy castle turret up there and 3 kilos of Play-Doh. Like I say, you gotta fucking love them. And then he advised me to wrap some streaky bacon around my plums and sleep upright that night facing the moon.
Right. So did I did do that? Did it help?
I did that. I was right as rain the next morning. So cheers, Rudy.
Can I just apologise for asking if... you know, if beehives make a noise during that. I know that they make the noise of bees, but I didn't know whether there was some kind of mechanical element to them as well.
No, I just meant that.
Yeah. I just wanted to clear that up with you.
Yeah.
Bob, do you reckon Robert Palmer's still addicted to love?
Oh.
I mean, you know, there's worse things you can be addicted to, isn't it? You know, like gambling and drugs and
Andrew
and all
is
that.
Dead.
And he's not doing anything illegal or unethical.
Andrew is dead.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm not saying, if that's what you mean, I'm not saying he didn't die still addicted to love.
You think he was till the very end?
Could well be.
That's a nice thought.
That's a nice thought.
Yeah. I think we should just end, because I've done a song as well.
Yeah.
I'm glad to have to tell you. And it's kind of a positive song to counteract the negative racist stuff that you do about myself and
okay.
My hometown and our people and all that sort of thing. So this is a positive little song that I'd like to play for you.
Everybody, get up on the moon. Do not delay. You must get up there soon. Everybody, get up on the moon. Everybody, get on the moon and dance. Don't mess around, you have to take your chance. Everybody, get your ass up on the moon and dance. Everybody, get up on the moon. You gotta get up on the moon. Fucking do it, fucking get up on the moon. Unless you happen to be a space copper.
Very there
nice.
You go.
Very nice.
A positive message for us all to get on the moon and dance.
Lovely sentiments. Thank you, Andy. See ya.
See you next time.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.